Amen. Thank you for that. Good morning, Crossroads Church. It's a joy to be with you this morning. This is not in my sermon notes. I've been tearing up here this morning. You know, sometimes the Lord just kind of meets you, and you know, and it just starts to well up, and trying to figure out, okay, what are these tears about? And you know, this is, you know, as God would have it, this is the third different church I've preached in as many weeks. 2 weeks ago, I was in Columbia, Maryland, where I lived for 21 years, preaching at Columbia Presbyterian Church there. And last weekend, I was in my hometown of Brooklyn, New York, preaching for Resurrection Church there in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And here I am with you all this morning. And as we were singing those words, you know, man, I'm choking up now. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. I've been given just a small little taste, small little glimpse of that in three different cities over the past 3 weeks, and how amazing it's going to be in that, as they say, that great getting up morning when the Lord returns and we see for sure how much we are one over all the earth. All right, that's just intro. Sorry. Would you turn with me to God's word, letter of Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I want to speak to you on this topic, a pastor's profile picture. And as you get there, would you, as you are able, stand for the reading of God's word? Hear God's word. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you this morning for your word that is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And, oh, Lord, this reality means that we are all in this place naked and exposed to you, to your eyes, the one to whom we must all give account. And this is good news because it means that you know precisely what we stand in need of this morning. So would you be pleased, Lord, to take these, my efforts, weak and unworthy though they may be, and use them to bless your people. Would you meet us where we are? Would you give us what we need? Faith, hope, peace, rest, correction, conviction. Whatever it might be, that we would be people who live not for our own glory, but for the glory and fame of Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. over the past 15 years or so, an old human desire has taken on new and expanded meaning. From our very earliest days, we learn that part of what it means to be human is that we appear before others, that we have a public presence, and we want to have a positive public presence. We might not all agree on what that positive public presence means, but we want others to think well of us. And this desire has taken on new meaning in this age of social media. It's not a stretch to say that participating in social media means that the public that you are appearing before could be literally the whole world. What was reserved only for the most famous of celebrities and entertainers and sports figures is now available to all, adolescents and teenagers, right here even in Woodbridge, Virginia. So we now have a particular stress to deal with. What am I going to select as my profile picture? Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, and for old people like me, Facebook and LinkedIn, all of these things. What image do I want to project for myself to those who are looking on? That is an added pressure, right? We don't wake up in the morning, roll over and grab our smartphone and take a picture and say, this is my profile picture that I'm putting for the world to see, right? We don't do that because we know that people will scrutinize us based on that profile picture. We want people to click like and say things like, you know, looking good when they see our profile picture. Here's the deal. For the minister of Jesus Christ, a fundamental aspect of his call is just that. Having his life on display, exposed to the public scrutiny of others. This section in 1 Timothy begins in verse 6 of chapter 4, where the apostle Paul says to his protege Timothy, if you put these things before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. And down in verse 11, he's still concerned to instruct Timothy and the church on what it means to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. He's giving us, if you will, the pastor's profile picture, and he gets personal and emphatic. Of the 16 verbs in these 6 verses, 10 of them are imperatives. That is, they are commands. They are charges to Timothy. These charges help to paint the profile picture, and Paul's message to Timothy was that his life was to be lived before the people, not just behind the pulpit. Why is that? It's because as my friend Phil Ryken says in his commentary on this passage, for better and for worse, to a greater or a lesser extent, congregations are made in the image of their pastors. And so there are 4 things I want to share from you in this text and the pastor's profile picture. I want to talk about picturing authority, picturing the example, picturing the gift, and picturing the impact. Authority, example, gift, and impact. The first part of the profile picture is this picture of authority. It's a simple sentence in verse number 11. Command and teach these things. The phrase, these things, it appears 8 times in this letter. It's sums up the instructions that and the orders that Paul had given Timothy, which he was to continue passing on to the churches in Ephesus. In other words, he was to be continually engaged in commanding and teaching the apostolic instructions. Here's a reality that often rubs up against our impulse in our day to push back against authority. See, right, we choose what church we want to attend, don't we? We choose how much we want to participate in that church that we attend. And even as we see today, we choose who we want our pastor to be. Crossroads Presbyterian Church, you've selected Reverend Alex Young as a pastor of this church, and that means you have selected him as one who has true spiritual authority. He's someone who is responsible to teach and, yes, command in Jesus' name to trust and obey God's word. We can be confused and we can be suspect of a pastor's spiritual authority in the church. These days, the pendulum can swing between two unbiblical extremes. There's the touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm crowd on one side, who mistakenly think that you're out of order if you somehow scrutinize anything that the pastor says or does, because we're not Jesus after all. But then there's the other side, the other extreme, that of an unwillingness to submit to biblical authority because, well, he's just a man and he can't tell me what to do. The minister's authority is a real authority, but a spiritually real authority, and our text is a corrective for both of those unbiblical extremes. The corrective is seen in the way that spiritual authority is exercised. Paul says in verse 13, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." He had said in verse 14 of chapter 3 that he had hoped to come to Ephesus soon. And here he implies that there are some things that he's going to take over that when he gets there. But until then, Timothy is to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And make no mistake about it, right? This is the exercise of spiritual authority. He's to read the word of God publicly. Then he's to exhort the congregation. This exhortation is a charge to move the heart and the will of the people by preaching. Well, preaching what? Preaching the scriptures that he's publicly read. Not only that, he is to teach and instruct. This is both public and private explanation of God's word, including its implications for who we are called to be as followers of Jesus and how we are called to live. And so the minister's authority is real, but it's exercised properly only as it is exercised under the authority of God's word. And look, I listen to sermons from different pastors regularly on podcasts and on YouTube and on other media outlets. And maybe you're like me and have some favorite preachers that you listen to regularly that you like learning from. But I attend Grace Mosaic Church in Washington, D.C., and I am pastored by Reverend Russ Whitfield. He's the one who pastors me most, who knows me best. So what I don't do is play this comparison game. I wish my pastor were more like this preacher that I like on this podcast. I'd love to live in that city so I could go to that church and be pastored by that pastor. You live right here. And God has been pleased. Listen, God has been pleased to give you a pastor to watch over and care for your souls with real spiritual authority. Pastor Young's legitimate application of God's word is authoritative. Right? A pastor has no right to say you ought to do this or you ought to do that unless it is in line with what God's word says and requires of us. If it is, then Pastor Alex is charged to say it and you and I are charged to heed it. Authority is one facet of the profile, and it gets filled in more as Paul begins to picture the pastor's example. Picturing the example, Paul was anticipating, that this exercise of authority in the church by Timothy might be a little bit problematic. And so he says to him in verse number 12, "Let no one despise you for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Timothy was a young man in his 30s. And so the older folks might have had an issue being under the authority of this young buck. If you have an authority problem, Timothy, how are you going to fix it? How was this problem manifesting itself in the churches in Ephesus? What was happening? Were people being openly disrespectful to Timothy? Were they simply ignoring him? We don't know because we're not told. I don't know how old you are, Pastor Alex, and your last name is Young. So, you know, right? I don't know, right? I hold y'all, but that don't mean there won't be any authority issues. I mean, y'all are beautiful, but you're still people. You're still people. Every now and then, we find ourselves putting up resistance to the word of God, and often our resisting the word of God manifests itself in our resisting the one who brings us the word of God. How was Timothy to fix the problem? Was he simply to preach louder? Was he to go on the attack and put people in their place? Was he to declare his authority and say, "Y'all better submit or God is going to get you"? In a powerful charge, Paul says, be an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In other words, Timothy, let your life speak for itself. The pastor has spiritual authority, but he must lead by example and not by force. God-given spiritual authority is antithetical to spiritual abuse. It is antithetical to manipulation. It is antithetical to shaming people. It is antithetical to guilting people. Look at the charge. Set the believers an example in speech and in conduct. Your actions have to line up with your words. You can't just be Mr. Say and not be Mr. Do. You can't just preach the gospel. You've got to live the gospel. You can't just preach about repentance and not be willing to repent when you've wronged others. You can't just preach about forgiveness and be unforgiving. You can't just preach about sharing the gospel with those who don't yet believe and be unwilling to share the gospel yourself. You can't just talk about raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not be doing it yourself. You can't just preach grace and not live grace. Matthew Henry commented, those who preach or teach by their doctrine must teach by their life, else they pull down with one hand what they build up with the other. Or as the Puritan Richard Baxter put it, warning ministers to watch how they live, he said, lest you may unsay with your lives that which you say with your tongues. Set the believers an example in love. That is to have a passionate and compassionate concern for those who are in the pastor's care. Set the believers an example in faith. He lives by faith. He preaches by faith. He works by faith. Set the believers an example in purity and family. Make no mistake about it. The primary reference here is to sexual purity. Few things destroy a man's ministry like sexual sin. Few things damage the church's reputation like a minister who's given to sexual sin. And few things bring more dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ than one of his ministers is engaged in sexual sin. Set the believers an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And before we move on to the third point, picturing the gift, let me impress upon you the implications of these words. Set the believers an example. This text is helpful in seeing what godly leadership looks like in the church, but don't miss the fact that this example is for you. The example is so that your life would be a testimony of the glorious gospel of God in Jesus Christ. Inherent in this concern is that your speech and your conduct be in line with the gospel, that you and I would be the one who loves God and neighbor, that our lives would be lived by faith in the living God, and that purity would be a descriptive term for all of us in the area of sex and sexuality. As a pastor, I might have a generic and general profile picture on Facebook and Instagram, but there's no way for Pastor Alex to set an example without exposing his life in some significant ways to the people that he's called to serve. The call to exercise authority and to set an example for the believers would be impossible. It'd be impossible for Timothy if verse 14 were not true of him. Because the power to do and to be what he's charged to do and to be didn't come from himself. The third part of the profile picture is God's gift through the Holy Spirit. Paul points Timothy back to his ordination as a minister of the gospel with the charge in verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Paul says, do not neglect the gift you have, literally the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. And this is the second time in the letter that Paul refers to prophecies made about Timothy. The first was in chapter 1 and verse 18. And then there, as it is here, we're not given the content of those prophecies. The point is that he was called to the ministry by the Holy Spirit and gifted for this ministry with the authority and power to exercise it. In 2 Timothy verse 1 and chapter 1 in verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, he refers to his ordination again when he says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The charge not to neglect the gift but to fan it into flame, it reminded Timothy that he had a responsibility to use and to develop his gift in his ministry. And the same thing is true right now today. It's true for Pastor Alex. It's easy to miss because the usual way that God works is through the ordinary. Right? We've said this is a service of the Potomac Presbytery, right? This church has followed its denominational process in calling Pastor Young, and I'm sure, right, you all have prayed all along the way. I heard it in the prayers this morning, right? And through that process, what you have discerned is that God has called him here as a pastor among you. He knew all along along that Pastor Alex Young was going to become the next pastor of this church. He knew that he was going to leave Northwest Ohio and come to Woodbridge, Virginia to pastor here at Crossroads. He knew that he had gifted this brother for this work. And Pastor Young has the same charge. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Fan it into flame for the blessing and the benefit and the flourishing of this body. And what that means for you as a congregation is that God has wired and equipped this brother in some particular ways. Again, he's wired and equipped him in particular ways that are distinct from others. And there is a delight, there is a joy and a delight for the congregation and the minister when he is free to develop and serve out of that gifting. And so here's the last part of the profile picture in the text is picturing the impact, in verses 15 and 16. Paul continues, practice these things, he says, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Timothy must be so devoted to the gospel. He must be so immersed in the gospel. He must persevere in the gospel for the salvation of the church. How does this gospel impact happen? Paul says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that your progress in following the Lord might be apparent to all. In other words, don't act like you already arrived. Don't act like you've already got it all together. Live in such a way that those around you can see your walk of faith. This is an extension of what it means to be an example. Pastor, your growth in grace should be apparent to all. This is an unavoidable aspect of ministry. And sometimes, let me just be frank. It's an undesired aspect of pastoral ministry. Because just like everybody else, pastors often just want to be private. And truthfully do need healthy boundaries. having your life as an example doesn't mean every single solitary detail. But it does mean a kind of exposure and a kind of vulnerability in the pastorate that is very often uncomfortable for the pastor. And Paul says, this is it. This is necessary. This is necessary because your own growth in grace, Pastor, should be evident and apparent to all. It's necessary to be open to having others see your progress in the grace of God, whether you like it or not. Right? Because Pastor Young, I'm preaching to myself here, it's not about you anyway. It is about the message of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's why this sobering charge to keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching is so necessary. Sound gospel living and sound gospel preaching and teaching are so closely tied as God's ordained means of bringing people out of the hateful state of being dead to sin into the marvelous state of being alive through Jesus Christ, that Paul can make it actually sound as though Timothy is the one who's saving people himself. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And the word of Christ comes by the preaching of the gospel. Christian ministers are an indispensable part of God's plan for the salvation of the world. Imagine that. Sound gospel preaching, sound gospel living can literally, in Paul's words here, mean the difference between life and death. When a minister watches his life and his doctrine closely, when a minister watches his life and doctrine closely, he and the church get the great privilege of seeing the Savior work. Jesus Christ loves his church. Jesus Christ loves this church. And part of the way he expresses his love is by giving her pastors who will be an example for the body in word and in deed, so that this body might continually be built up as people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and are disciplined by the words of the faith. The pastor's profile picture is for you and for this church to be a light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in this place for all to see. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment, your promise to build your church such that the gates of hell would never prevail against it. Thank you for giving us, Lord, glimpses of that in real time and space as you continue to call ministers to serve in particular churches, in particular places. I pray your blessing over Crossroads Presbyterian. I pray your blessing, Lord, over Pastor Alex and his family as they labor here. I pray that the glory of Jesus Christ might shine brightly in this community and that you might do it through the preaching, teaching of the word and the example of his life. Lord, do it for our good and for your glory. Amen.